Oh, boy. Moms are amazing. We love you guys. Happy Mother's Day. Listen, if you might have seen it as you came in the lobby, we decided as just a fun way to acknowledge and just show our love and appreciation, we have some strawberry lemonade out there. Everybody can just have some and enjoy. We also have chocolate. So we asked some moms, hey, what would you really like for Mother's Day? And they're like, how about some chocolate? And we're like, we can do it. So there you go. Please enjoy. And we're so glad you guys are here today. Hey, listen, so we're continuing our series On Purpose, and we've done 2 weeks so far, and man, I'm so excited about this because some of you are hearing this stuff for the first time, that your life is designed by God for a purpose, and I'm so excited you're hearing this. You need to hear this. Now, if you've heard some of this before, it's good to be reminded, right? Reminders are good for us. So far, we've looked at this overarching idea that God knows you perfectly and loves you lavishly. That's where it all begins. Flowing from that is that God wants us to know him and love him back. So that's sort of graphically and sort of like structurally the way you could kind of frame this in your mind. The first most important thing is God's love and knowledge of us, and then we respond back to him. We're going to build that out a little bit more as we keep going through this. I was reading Knowing God this last week by J.I. Packer, and he combines these two ideas in a very thoughtful way. I thought you would be encouraged by hearing what he wrote about this. He said, what matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I'm graven on the palms of his hands. I am never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. Isn't that good? Just to kind of think about, oh man, the only reason I'm even able to know him is because he knows me and loves me. Now, as part of that, God has given us some specific ways that he says, all right, here's how I want you to live. Here's how I've designed you to live, ways that give him glory and ways that will give us our greatest satisfaction in life. Last week, Nick talked about the first one that fall under that, which is that we were made to thrive in God's family. So you weren't meant to live in isolation. You were designed with a need to be connected with other Christians in deep, significant relationships. So today, we're going to add the second one, which is that you were designed to make your moments matter for God's glory. That's what we're going to look at today. Every moment you live, every day you live, is a moment that God has designed and given you, and we're meant to make those moments matter for God's glory. Purposes. And if we're not living in alignment with that, we start to feel it. We start to resonate with the fact that something is off in our lives. And that's what we're going to look at today. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump into some scripture together. Would you bow your heads? Lord, we're so grateful today for the people that have shaped our lives. We're grateful and thankful for our moms, grandmoms. And Lord, we're thankful for your word that shapes us. And as we look at it now, would you please give us some fresh insights and some fresh understanding that will help us understand how we should live a life filled with purpose? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to ask and answer a couple of questions today. Here's the first question. What does the Bible say about making your moments matter? Does the Bible say much about it, a little about it? The Bible actually says a ton about making your moments matter. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for a really clear and concise spot for it. So look, you can look at this in your paper Bible, okay? There's Bibles in some of the racks under the seats if you want to look at it in the paper Bible. You can look at it on the FBC app. You can also go on to YouVersion And as you're looking at your phone, the bottom right corner has some lines on it. You touch those lines, and it will show you a build out of some other options. If you click events, live events from that pullout, you'll see a bunch of churches in the general vicinity of where you're at right now that will have sermon notes that are posted on there. Ours is one of them. You click Foothills Bible Church, it'll give you the scriptures and the kind of the outline you can follow today on your phone. So, lots of ways to look at the scripture today. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 8 through 10. The first two verses are going to really describe the main foundation of this whole series, which is God knows you perfectly, loves you lavishly, you are meant to know and love him back. Here we go, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So you see that foundation there. A Christian is completely saved by grace, and then after you're saved, does God care what you do with your time? Is a person free to just do whatever they want with their life? Or does God actually give then a new purpose to what you do? Well, look at what it says. Or I think he gives us a new purpose. In verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship. All right, we're going to just stop right there for a second. That's not, workmanship is not a word we use on a daily basis. So what does that mean, workmanship? Well, it means masterpiece. It means work of art. Psalm 139 describes how God knits together and designs people with great detail. What verse 10 is saying here is we are his masterpieces. We are his works of art. That's what God says about us. See, a lot of people feel very ordinary. Yeah, they're filled with doubts and insecurities and fears, and they question themselves, and they look at their past and they see lots of failures. They look at their future and they see a lot of confusion. The scriptures are saying, oh, please don't go down that negative. It's like a drain. You just keep going down and down and down and down and down. The scriptures are saying you are his masterpiece. You should say to yourself, and maybe you need to just do this right now. Personalize this. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's work of art. You should say that to yourself because it's true from the scriptures. We fill our minds with all kinds of negative things about ourselves. We need to combat that with the truth of what God says. Now, flowing from that, for we are his workmanship, the verse then says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That this is amazing. The God of the universe, the all-glorious, magnificent, perfect God of the universe has knit you together with loving design, perfect thoughtfulness, right? You are not an accident. You were not made by mass production. God sovereignly ruled over your creation. Then he sovereignly rules over all of your life experiences that have brought you to this place today. He mixes it all up with purpose and design and redemption because you are designed to make your moments matter for God's glory. You are not the recipient of God's design so you can just serve yourself or just serve the people that you like or only focus on yourself when you're going through your own hardship and your own suffering. No, verse 10 tells us that the result of your unique design is good works. What does good works mean? It's not complicated. It basically means anything good. That's not complicated, is it? Now, in a biblical sense, anything good means it's going to bring benefit to other people, displaying the love, the goodness, and the glory of God. Now see, if you're not doing these good works, you will feel like something is missing from your life. So if you're here today and you feel like, man, I just feel like something's missing in my life today. I don't feel like I'm making like a difference in this world like I ought to. Yeah, I do. Like when I lay down in my bed at night, I just lay there and I think, man, like, is this all that life is about? It could be that your life is not aligning with the good works that God has designed you to be doing with your time and your energy. Let me tell you a story about a guy that would have laid in his bed at night and thought to himself, this is not the life I'm supposed to be living. I love this story. This guy named Scott Harrison. For 10 years, he lived in New York City, promoting nightclubs and fashion brands. Of his own admission, this is literally one of the most shallow jobs a person could ever have. He was paid to wear certain clothing brands. He was paid to drink certain kinds of alcohol and to be seen in public, smoking certain brands of cigarettes, throwing parties. This is what he did. And he made a lot of money doing it. Crazy money, as a matter of fact. After 10 years of this lifestyle, Scott declared himself spiritually, emotionally, and morally bankrupt. He knew something was missing from his life. So he thought to himself, okay, serving myself has brought me to a place of utter failure. What if I completely flipped it and started just serving other people? Maybe that's the solution. So he contacted a bunch of agencies. Literally nobody wanted him to come and help them, by the way, because all of these agencies and like all, he tried to like do humanitarian aid and go to these different countries, and everybody's like, they looked at who he was and his resume, and they said, no way are you coming to work with us. He finally found one organization. They have hospitals on a ship, and they said, you know what, we'll let you come, but you have to pay us to come. $500 a month he had to pay them so he could join their staff. He was the staff photographer, and this hospital ship went to Liberia, a country that had been ravaged by war. Diseases were rampant from all these people coming to get service. And one of the main reasons people were so sick was dirty water. I mean, he saw them getting water bottles out of these pools of water that we wouldn't even let our animals drink from. They were so disgusting. Yet they're putting these in bottles and they're drinking this water. As he photographed their diseased bodies, which was his job, God broke his heart. See, Scott had become a follower of Jesus when he was a teenager. He grew up in a Christian home, but he had walked away from the Lord. And after that trip and those experiences, he returned to New York City, and he was on a mission to raise money to get clean water to people all over the world. Now, he didn't know how to do that, but you know what he did know how to do? He knew how to get a bunch of people together for a party. So he threw himself a combination welcome home birthday party, invited all of his friends to come to this nightclub. They all came. They were all excited to do it. He charged them entrance to come, and then he explained to them the goal of giving fresh, clean water to people around the world, and they raised $15,000 in one night. And that was the beginning of his charitable organization called Charity Water. 12 years later today, that organization has given fresh water to 35,000 villages. Think about that. This guy was like wasting his life as a nightclub promoter. Then God gets a hold of his heart, and he has now led an organization that has given fresh, clean water to 35,000 villages in 27 countries. And Scott is deeply fulfilled as he's doing it. And God is glorified through Scott's life. See, Scott is just one example of God's masterpiece, and he is doing the good works that God has designed him to do. And so is every one of you. I want every single one of you to experience the thrill of living good works. I want every single one of you to be making your moments matter for God's glory. So what I want to do now is explain how the Bible says that that can happen. How do you do that? How do you make your moments happen? How do you do this day to day? So I'm going to give you five answers as we work through it. How can you make your moments matter for the glory of God? The first one that the scriptures tell us is that we can bear good fruit. So if you look over in Romans chapter 7, it says this: "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead." That is that's a fairly long little section that's saying, look, you've been saved. It's the whole thing we said, look back in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You've been saved. It's our graphic that says God knows you perfectly and loves you lavishly, and you're meant to know him and love him back. You've been saved. Now, in order that we may bear fruit for God. That's making your moments matter. We produce fruit that shows the nature and the character of Jesus Christ. It's a natural and normal byproduct of a follower of Jesus that God's fruit will be growing out of you. So what is that fruit? Well, you know, I bet you know some of them. Some of you know all of them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are others that are listed in the New Testament. Look, the pressure is not on you, though. When you're in that moment and you're like, oh, this is a tough moment right now. I need to pop out a little fruit of mercy. Come on, mercy. Like, we're not popping out fruit on our own. The point is that we stay connected to Jesus, and over time, he changes us so that our words, our actions, our reactions to other people, our attitudes, they start to show the character and the nature of Jesus. See, the more you're bearing good fruit, the more you're making the moments of your life. See, but it all starts with being connected to Jesus. Are you spending time every day reading God's word, listening to God speak to you? Are you in conversation with him throughout your day, talking to him about what you're seeing, asking for his advice, and listening to what he has to say to you? I mean, it'd be healthy to think of God like we do the people that we text and maybe Snapchat with the most. Like, if you think about the person that you communicate with the most on your phone, how many interactions go back and forth in a given day? Why wouldn't we be interacting with God like that? Because that's what being connected to him means. That's how we consistently hear from him. And the byproduct of all that is that we will bear good fruit. That's the first way that we make our moments matter. We just show the fruit of God. Here's the second way. The second way is to know your spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12 describes and talks about the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 does as well. Verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 12 says this: "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." So the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to be uninformed about what your spiritual gifts are. You should know them so you can use them. The Bible tells us every Christian has at least one, and God wants you to know the thrill of using it, and he wants you to bless other people as you do. Now, let's flip that scenario for a second. How great is it to be on the receiving end of someone who's using their spiritual gift? Oh, that's good. When somebody's using their spiritual gift and you're around them, boy, you just feel blessed. You feel fulfilled. You feel satisfied. You feel God's presence. Let me give you an example. So Romans 12, in the list, gives us encouragement as one of the spiritual gifts. Who has the gift of encouragement? Anybody know? Raise your hand high if you have the spiritual gift of encouragement. Get them really high because we all want to see you because we want to be your friend. Boy, knowing people with a gift of encouragement is a good thing. So Barnabas in the New Testament had the spiritual gift of encouragement. So, but what people don't know, and let me just show you how the spiritual gift of whatever the spiritual gift can affect other people through the life of Barnabas, okay? So, in Acts 4:36, we're told that Barnabas was an encourager. Barnabas was the traveling and working companion of the Apostle Paul. They went around visiting areas, planting churches, building up the local church. Close friends, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 12:25, Mark joined them. And then in Mark 13, it tells us that Mark left them. Now, it does not go into all of the reasons why he left, but the implication seems to be in Scripture that it was not a good reason. The Apostle Paul was mad about it. It seems that Mark was a bit immature and it just wasn't good, right? So, this was in AD 45. Now, this is important because sometimes when we read through the Scripture, we lose track of time. And I'm about to show you something awesome as it relates to time in this story. So, 3 years later, after Mark left them, Acts 15 happens. Acts 15, verse 36, and just follow along. Paul said to Barnabas, "Hey, let's return to visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Paraphrase version, let's go back to see all the people that we started those churches with and encourage them. Mark was with them on some of that journey. Now, Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose such a sharp disagreement. There's a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. So they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed. So you see what happened there? Paul and Barnabas have this big disagreement, and Barnabas says, "No, I'm gonna give Mark another chance." And Paul says, "Not with me, you're not." And so Paul takes Silas and they separate. That's how we know that Mark leaving was not some like small thing. All right, now, fast forward 19 years to AD 67. Writing from a dungeon, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:11 says this, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." That's the same Mark. What happened there? Like, why does Paul value Mark as a friend 19 years after the fact that he said, "I don't have anything to do with that guy. He's not coming on this journey with us"? Well, because somebody invested in Mark's life. Somebody was willing to take a chance on somebody who had blown it. Somebody poured time and prayer and encouragement into Mark. That was Barnabas. Barnabas using his spiritual gift. And Mark became a spiritual giant as a result. So not only did Paul change his mind about Mark 19 years later, but Mark is the same guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark. See, that's the power of a person using their spiritual gifts, making their moments matter for God's glory. I mean, I wonder how many of us have a person like Barnabas in our life from our past. Somebody who encouraged us, listened to us, gave us 5th, 20th, 1,000th chances, 10,000th chances. Just saying, oh no, you're not done. You can keep going. A lot of us call that person in our life mom or grandma. Look, if you know your spiritual gifts, use them. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, go online. There's a ton of tests you can take that'll help show you, oh, these are your spiritual gifts. And then you can start using them for God's glory. All right, here's the third way you can make your moments matter, and that's to understand your personality. You got to understand your personality to make your moments matter for God. Because look, you're not who you are by accident. You're either an extrovert or an introvert by an intention and a design by God. Some of you love the outdoors. Some of you love the indoors. Some of you love to analyze. Some of you are merciful, merciful givers. Some of you are scientists. Look, whatever it is, you have a personality, and the more you're aware of it, the more you can align your life with the good works that God has designed for you. Here's an example. On the DISC evaluation, I test as a D, which aligns with the StrengthFinder evaluation, which puts me in the cat. One of my strengths on there is command. So basically, those mean I like to take charge. That's what that means. Now, when I was really, really, really immature, like last year, now I'm going to go further back than that. When I was really immature, like 20 years ago, and I was basically just being me as a D and as a command, people didn't like it. It's abrasive. Because I come across as being prideful, which I was, bossy, and kind of a know-it-all. So I was happy to tell you the way life should be, and then have you like help me make the world better the way I thought life should be. Now, do you think that that's an important thing to understand about yourself? Yes, it is. But it's not just me. We should all know things about ourselves like this. And then after about 15, 20 years of refinement through like having leadership coaches and mentors, failure and encouragement and meditating on God's word, you know what? Today, I still am comfortable taking charge. That's part of who God made me to be. But I'm also very, very willing to follow if someone else wants to be in charge. I'm also very open to the opinions of other people. I ask for people's opinion. I change my opinion to disagree with myself sometimes. You know, we'll be talking about something and I think, you know what, I don't agree with that. But you have a better track record than I do on these things, so I'm going to actually make a decision that disagrees with myself right now and go with what you think is best. And then we're going to go. Because somebody's got to take charge and lead it. Look, if you know your personality, use it for God's glory. If you don't know your personality, man, you should take some of these tests. There's a ton of them online. The DISC test is a good one. I mentioned StrengthFinder as well. There's a new one called the Enneagram that people really love, that they give you these numbers. Look, the point is this. Understand yourself so that you can then use how God has made you to make your moments matter. You cannot just stumble through life without awareness, because what will happen is you'll stumble along and be like, hey, that was actually pretty good. And then you'll be like, I wonder why that happened. Because you cannot repeat it unless you know how you got there. So that's the third one. Here's the fourth one about making your moments matter. You got to harness your life experiences. What has happened in your life that has shaped you? See, we all have good and bad in that answer. You know, you might have had something like Scott Harrison, where you've seen something wrong and you're now driven to change the world because of what you have experienced. That's your experience. You know, maybe you have addiction in your background. Maybe you're a highly trained academic. Maybe you love the outdoors and you're an avid outdoor enthusiast. Look, use that. God doesn't want you to have to hide your stuff or to like completely change your life experiences so that you can serve him. I love how the Apostle Paul is so honest in the book of Galatians. In chapter 1, he's, you know, just kind of describing who he is and where he has been. And he's not trying to just like put his background in a closet and lock it up. He says, "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it." You see what Paul's doing there? He's trying to harness his life experiences. He's not ignoring it. He's saying, look, I'm going to just lay it out. This is who I have been, and that shaped who I am today, and I'm not afraid to talk about it. Because Paul was even saying, as he's showing here in the book of Galatians, look, don't think I'm anybody special. I was an enemy of God, and look at how ugly I was as an enemy of God, and God has changed me. And God gets all the credit for that transformation. Don't look at me and think, wait, way to go, Paul. Man, you are such a good moral guy. Wow, you're so honest. Wow, like, you're responsible. I bet you, like, you probably pay your taxes on time. I bet you give a lot of money to the church. Way to go, Paul. You are so good. Paul's like, no. We're not playing that game. Do you see who I used to be? And do you see who I am now? That's because God transformed me. He was harnessing his life experiences. You know, 2 years ago, I was in Tanzania on a go trip, and I was we were staying with our go-workers there, and basically they live like they're glamping, okay? They cook on a camping stove. They get their water out of with buckets, and they do their dishes in like, they pour the water in like a tub, and then they like do this like multiple bucket thing. Now look, it's fun to glamp for a couple of days. Anybody want to glamp for your life? Like, you're like, that's your life? Because that's the way they live. And so I was asking the mom who's there, Cassie, I said, hey, is this a struggle for you to live like this? Because I think a lot of women in America, if they came to this, would struggle with this. Now, don't get offended, moms. I know it's Mother's Day, and I'm only supposed to say nice things to you today. I understand that. But how many of you would like to glamp as your way of life? Not many. And Cassie's answer was, no, it's not a struggle at all. I'm super intrigued by that. I'm like, why don't you like that? Why don't you struggle with it? And she said, oh, I'll tell you why. My dad took me camping with him all the time. We would go out on hunts, and he was a hunting guide, and he would take me along. He taught me everything about living in the outdoors. He taught me how to lead hunts. She said, in my life, I can't even tell you how many nights I've spent living outdoors. And I thought, you know what? What a great example of harnessing your life experiences for God's glory. Man, God designed her to be living in Tanzania. She loves it. It's part of her life experience. Here's the fifth and the last way. You can make your moments matter for God. And that is to faithfully serve others. Faithfully serve. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable of the talents. In the parable, three men are given differing amounts of money, and then each man does something different with what they're given, and then their effectiveness is not evaluated on how much they produce, but on how faithful they were with what they were given. Matthew 25, verse 23 says, "His master said to one of these servants, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" All through Scripture, the same message is what this verse says, that what we produce out of our life is not really the question. The question for us is, are we faithful? And then as we're faithful, let the production, let God deal with that. Whether it's big or small, the production size is not up to us. What's up to us is, are we going to faithfully serve? Because see, look, I know that some of you, when I tell larger-than-life stories like Cassie in Tanzania or Scott Harrison starting Charity Water, I know that some of you hear those stories and you get inspired. You're like, oh, that's going to be awesome. I want to do something like that. And then I know that some of you have the opposite reaction. You get discouraged because you think, you know, I don't think I can. I'm never going to provide clean water to 35,000 villages. I'm never going to do that. How could I ever change a person's life like Barnabas changed Mark's life? I'm never going to do that. I could never lead boldly like Sean leads. I could not glamp in Tanzania. Please, please do not evaluate yourself by production or comparison. That's not what God wants for you. You are his precious child that he has knit and designed together with intentionality and purpose. It's awesome. God thinks you are awesome just the way you are. He does not want you to get discouraged by comparing yourself or trying to say, well, look, I did this, but like somebody else did this. I guess I don't really matter. God doesn't think that at all. He just wants you to keep being faithful. Faithfully listen to your kids and your grandkids. It makes a difference. Faithfully keep praying for your neighbors. It's making a difference. Keep just showing up and doing the right thing. It makes a difference because God uses it to make a difference. See, people, we put too much pressure on ourselves sometimes about trying to make our moments matter for God. And, you know, there's a great verse in 1 Peter 4:10 that says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as a good steward of God's varied graces." Use the gifts that God has given you. What does that look like? I'm going to end with a story about what it means to use the gifts. 10 years ago, my oldest son was 7. 7 years old, and it's Christmas. He gets this box. It's a big box, and he rips this thing open, and inside is a remote-controlled monster truck. Oh, man, his eyes light up. This is awesome. This is a dream for like a 7-year-old to get a monster truck. We charge that thing. We turn it on, and this is so cool. This monster truck, we're not even doing anything with the remote control, and the monster truck is like shaking and lurching. Like, let me go. Let me run something over. And so Aiden, he gets that remote control, and he starts like maneuvering and manipulating that thing, and man, he's laughing his head off. He's chasing this monster truck as it runs around. His grandparents were the ones who had given him the gift. And they're watching the whole scenario play out. Oh, man, they're beaming with delight and happiness. Because the gift they had given was being used for the purpose it was intended. If he had put the gift on the shelf and just said, oh, no, we're not going to touch or drive the monster truck, that would not have made his grandparents happy. The monster truck was made to get dirty, to run things over, to get scratched and broken. That's what monster trucks do. And it brings great delight to the gift giver and the receiver when it's used for its purpose. So what about you? God has given you great gifts. He wants you to bear fruit, his fruit. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you a personality that he's designed by intention and like this great creation. He's given you life experiences. And then it's all mixed together as you faithfully serve. And you will be satisfied when you do it. Other people are going to be blessed when you do it. And God will be glorified when you do it. Are you making your moments matter by using the gifts that God has given you? Do you need to make some adjustments in how you're living your life so that you can do that more? Maybe. But look, recognize you're not on this earth for no reason. God has big plans for you. So stay faithful and watch. If you will ask God to use you today, he'll use you today. You know what? You may not see the results of it today, but something in eternity will change as you make your moments matter today and tomorrow, this whole week, this whole next month. And that's what God wants us to be about. And it's awesome. I want that so much for all of us. Would you bow your heads and let's pray together? God, what an encouraging, great message to just be reminded of, that our little insignificant lives make a difference because you infuse your spirit into that. And man, you change people. Not because of us, but because you use us. That's awesome. We want to praise you for that. We acknowledge that you are the one who does the work, not us. We acknowledge, Lord, that we all need growth, development. You accept us and love us just where we are, but boy, you have a big vision for us to develop and to be used for your glory. And I ask, Lord, that you would plant fresh vision into our hearts so that we would be dissatisfied with the mundane and the normal, and that we would say, Lord, what do you want me to do for your kingdom? Because I want to make my moments matter. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to serve and to love. We surrender our lives to you, Jesus. Thank you that you infuse amazing purpose into our lives by allowing us to be used by you. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.